Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2015, and this...
I'm given to understand that there's an entire city in Nevada designed specifically to help people like Howard forget their problems. They can replace them with new problems, such as alcoholism, gambling addiction, and sexually transmitted diseases.
Is it me, or was that Sheldon's way of saying Vegas, baby?
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 495.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. We are recording. This is going to be awkward. Don't worry. I'm going to introduce him. Chill the fuck out. You weren't paying attention during rehearsals?
No. Why would I? We pre-partied at Le Bayou.
So we're recording in an undisclosed location in Las Vegas right now. It's going to be a little awkward because we have a crazy-ass setup here.
What? Go ahead.
I was expecting, this is Tim and this is Michelle. And?
I said I would introduce him. We have a special guest this week. One of our beloved Kickstarter backers who paid for... We'll get to that too in a second, but who contributed to the Kickstarter campaign at the level, earning him a guest spot as a co-host on this podcast. And things worked out that we were in Las Vegas at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to introduce you all to Chris from Missouri. Chris?
Hello, hello.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
It's lovely.
It's great to be here. It's, I think every dollar was well spent.
Well,
so absolutely.
That remains to be seen. We'll see.
So when's the book coming out?
I had one of those as recently as yesterday on Twitter.
I saw that.
I feel like I'm getting close to having an actual date to be able to, an actual month, let's say. It's coming along.
I would shoot for a season. Give yourself a little time.
A year, maybe. A general.
Yeah.
It'll be out in 2015.
Any season could be with a random year. So
that's
you could
true.
Say, I'm shooting for mid-autumn.
That's pretty specific, mid-autumn. Depending on the part of the country, though, mid-autumn could be, like in where we're from, mid-autumn is like, what, September?
Is it now? No?
Yeah, we're getting close to it. Well, thank you for being here. It's lovely to have you on our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Tim. It was a real shock and awe and pleasure that we were able to overlap a couple of days of a couple of trips and make this happen. So this is definitely an added bonus.
Very cool. So we have three people here and two microphones. So Michelle and I are sharing a mic, and whenever she feels the need, she can just...
I can just take it away.
So this will be kind of fun, I think. We're going to do our usual kind of thing, talking about some news. We've got some Dear Tim and Michelle. We've got some drinks. We've got...
It'll be Dear Tim and Michelle and Chris, right?
Absolutely. Chris will be chiming in on some of the questions. Chris has some questions
for
us.
I do have a couple
of
questions, yes.
So this will be awesome. So before we get into the news, I want to talk a little bit, very briefly, about the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, our big annual event coming up in October. Chris, you have been to the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, if I'm not mistaken.
I have. I went last October, and I also went to the Flamingo.
Vegas Podcastapalooza.
Podcastapalooza.
The predecessor.
With the Strip and Rita Redner and all her happy
that
glory.
Was a magical time.
John McCartney, or is it Tom McCartney?
Tom McCartney. Rita Redner and her eye-rolling glory.
Oh, she just wanted to... bulldoze Fountain Blue from the moment because she had to see it out her window.
Tom McCartney, who is no longer with Cosmopolitan. Some news that we should probably be covering that we're not.
Well.
we leave the businessy stuff to Vegas gang, so those guys can talk about that. But so that's you're a long time. You're a veteran of our live events.
I am a veteran.
It would be lovely. So. It would be lovely to see you again in October if you're able to make
it. Well, I've secured the days off from work.
Ooh.
I have not... informed my wife yet whether or not we'll be going. That might be another stealth
trip
for
like,
her.
Save it for like a week before.
I think so.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Hopefully she won't hear this. I'm assuming she doesn't listen.
Well, she...
we get that's usually what we get when we meet people out here. It's like, oh, I'm a huge fan of the show, and this is my wife. She'll be like, I don't. I know he talks about you all the time.
She has heard all of my calls that were played.
Oh, perfect.
And that's about it.
That's fine.
Yeah. I'm just such a giddy fanboy. They played my call.
Do you have like a compilation? Do you...
Well, some of my best work has gone unplayed.
Really?
I had a high pitch call that I called.
Oh, the sound quality was shitty on that.
I was so sad because it was timely. It was about coffee. What are you doing with your coffee?
I know.
And at the very end, I said, you know, I'd love your, you know, it was, the premise was somebody paid high pitch to call in, and
of
at
course.
The very end, I said, I love your podcast. Fuck the Crab Feast.
Yeah, I did get that one. It was all fucking staticky and shit. I couldn't use it.
Well, cell phones are the best.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, horrible. Anyway, the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic in mid-October. The big announcement, which the Vegas Tripping guys alluded to on their podcast, and we are now alluding to now on ours, the World Series of Satin Casino Jackets is making its triumphant return this year. We didn't have it last year. This year we're having it. It's going to be awesome. For those of you who have not witnessed the World Series of Satin Casino Jackets, it is a glorious, glorious event where anyone who is participating is welcome to wear a satin casino. Well, the rules for the Satin Casino Jacket competition don't really limit it to satin. The only rule is no denim. So no denim jackets.
No Tennessee tuxedos.
No. Canadian tuxedos.
Or that.
But any other kind of casino jacket, bring it on. And it's going to be magnificent. So,
have you procured anything?
I have procured something. Not satin, but I think it will qualify, and it is glorious, and I'm very proud of it. It has a little bit of an odor to it, so I have to do some sort of dry cleaning or something, but the great thing about the World Series of Satin Casino Jackets is who wins is secondary to just seeing the spectacle.
Who wins is also secondary generally to Derek, because he usually gets some custom embroidered shit that, like, anything I could wear would pale in comparison.
I was curious if he was going to be excluded, like he had, because he won, he's a previous winner,
know.
That he would be excluded from further competition.
I don't know.
Or his,
assuming he's even there, we have, you know, we don't even know. Where location and
true.
All that stuff has yet to be determined, so.
I'm just reminiscing from the previous time that we had that. I don't think it competed, though. I think he just...
You're really close.
I think he just showed up.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome and amazing. All the details will be announced soon as far as location and time and dates and all that, where that fits in the agenda. So planning is well underway for VIMP in general, and there's going to be some new stuff. There's going to be some old stuff. It's the things that are happening are magnificent. You guys are going to love it. So make your plans now. All the information is at VegasInternetMafia.com.
And if you want to do custom embroidery, don't let anybody stop you.
Oh, absolutely. Custom made or enhancing something you find on eBay. eBay is probably where everybody's going and looking, so you might be wise to check some other locations. Don't overlook Etsy. Are you familiar with Etsy, Chris? Do you spend a lot of time buying craftsy things on Etsy? You seem like that kind of guy to me.
Just the Firefly Jane hat I bought on Etsy once.
I have no idea what the hell that is. Is that some sci-fi shit?
It's a power dork move by me.
Wasn't Joan from Mad Men in Firefly?
Yes, she was naked. She was Malcolm Reynolds' wife.
I've just become a Firefly fan, and I've never seen it.
She had some drug on her lips, and when they kissed her, it knocked people out, kind of like Poison Ivy in the terrible Batman movie. But, yes, Christina Hendricks was on Firefly. That's good.
I will have to research this.
I'm an early adopter of new talent.
Have you seen, you know, we'll see. I'm the earliest... Christina Hendricks, we're already way off the rails.
This is so Vegas related.
My earliest familiarity with her is she was in an Everclear video.
Oh.
Very young and very bouncy.
Very young.
All right. So with that
was my creepy lean-in voice.
It was creepy. Very fantastic. All right. Let's get to some Las Vegas news. We've got a lot of it is like restaurant related. So we're going to talk about some stuff. Bally's. We were over at Bally's the other day. We're saving all of our review stuff for the next show, by the way. But,
were you over at Bally's, Chris? Because Tim is using we as in the two of us.
Well, I'm close to Bally's.
Okay.
We're at the Dirty Bird. We're staying at the Flamingo for the guys' trip for March Madness, but have not ventured south of the Cromwell
well
yet.
Make sure and stop by the Grand Bazaar shops. It's really something.
Oh, I saw some photos.
We'll talk about that next show, too. But one of the things that's going on at Bally's, you may recall that they closed the Sidewalk Cafe and the Tequila Bar recently, and it was rumored that a Buca di Beppo would be going in where the Sidewalk Cafe was, and that is confirmed. There are construction walls up now, and not only are they promoting all of the wonderful family-style meals that you can get at Buca, but do you want to reveal the additional...
Is it microwaved lasagna?
It tastes like that. They're also going to have a full buffet at Buca. Now, I don't know if it'll just be Buca-style food at the buffet. I'm assuming so. I can't imagine that they would be doing like a gigantic seafood spread or something, but...
Why the fuck would they import non-Buca food?
Well, it's the only Bally's buffet there is. So I thought they might have your Buca menu and then your buffet option where they have...
You know, the yellow.
Yeah, which with Buca, the yellow might be an improvement. I'm not a fan, needless to say. So they got the construction walls up. There's no date as far as when that's opening. And then the tequila bar next door is going to be replaced by another tequila bar. Way to go, Bally's. The tequila bar was all right, though. This is tequila taqueria, so I guess you'll be able to get whatever you would get there.
Well, they're saving on the printing. They only have to change one word on the menu.
Yeah, that's the Caesar's way.
It's really sad.
It really is. So those things are coming at some point soon. I didn't see any actual construction happening, but they do have at least the construction walls up. So I would imagine, let's say 4 to 6 months. That's my estimate, based on absolutely nothing. Oh, how exciting. A couple doors down at Planet Hollywood, there is a new restaurant option. This is part of the sports book bar. It's called Ringer Wings Pizza and Sliders, and it's located right next to the sports book. It's really just part of the bar. They threw in some tables, and if you want to order some food, you can. Probably not a bad idea to have some that kind of food at a sports book, wouldn't you say? I don't know. I like to eat junk. I like to eat junk when I'm watching sports.
Or do you like to eat? Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. Did you read the menu items already? With the Ringer Wings Pizza and Sliders?
Do you have comments on that?
I want to know where the chicken rings are.
Do you have a particular affection for chicken rings?
Not really.
Well, thanks for throwing that in then. This is a good show.
I had them at Burger King at O'Shea's once when I was in desperate need, and I emphasized the desperate part of that.
Chris, how do you feel about chicken rings?
I love them.
All right. Well, maybe, just maybe you can get those. I don't think you can.
Chicken rings?
Don't they have chicken?
Would it just be pressed chicken into a form of a ring?
It's like onion rings, but chicken. I think the White Castle might have something like that.
Oh. I tried to get in there last night, but they stopped taking reservations after 9.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You really do want a reservation because, you know, white table linens and all that, only available with reservations.
At White Castle.
Oh, yes. All right. Cosmopolitan restaurant news there, too. All this, it must be like restaurant opening and closing week or something. News has broken that is it Comsa? You're looking at me like, yeah, you fucked up another foreign word, you dumb shit. Comsa at Cosmopolitan is going to be closing by the end of March, apparently. We went there once. We had happy hour. It was delicious.
I agree. This is so awkward.
The sharing of the mic is not a good thing. We're not going to go to this all the time.
Okay, so what I'm witnessing is I'm on an L-shaped couch, and I'm on one end, and I'm the new guy, the temporary one-time guy. And I feel so like I've stolen all of their equipment and they can't do it properly. But it's really funny to watch them pass the mic back and forth because Michelle pushed the mic back to Tim and it just kept on spinning and it went past his head and he had to stop and grab it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. This should be a video podcast.
Unfortunately, no.
It's like one of those, God, I'm going to mess this up. Like one of those shows where you see somebody spinning a mic constantly and it's like all about the showmanship but nobody's really singing. I don't know where I'm going with this.
What the shit are you talking about? Spinning a mic constantly?
Like plates? Like spinning plates?
No, like when people spin the microphone to be like Steven Tyler does that occasionally. Does he just have too many scarves
like
on the mic? Just
Roger
it.
Daltrey when he flings it around
yeah.
with the Who? And yeah.
Oh. Daltrey's the only one that does that, so your reference was completely fucked up. Thanks.
I still love you, Michelle.
Thanks.
All right. So a website called, oh, my notes are bad. What was the website called? BoweryBoogie.com?
Yes.
Reports that the restaurant that will be going in where Komasa is called, oh my God, my notes are so bad, Beauty in Essex. It's a New York restaurant owned by Tao Group. And this is a perfect concept for Cosmopolitan because it's a little hipstery precious. It's not just a restaurant and club. It's fronted by an operating pawn shop, which you really, I don't know if they'll bring that to Vegas, but for Cosmo, it seems kind of fitting to have something that makes no sense. So,
it's just the right amount of wrong.
Yeah. Of course, that's what they do. They do shit like, you know, you order room service for no reason whatsoever, Rubik's Cube on the tray with it, which is kind of cutesy, but it's just trying.
They had the old repurposed vending machines for cigarettes,
oh,
and
yeah.
You put art in them.
Yeah.
Like you could get an artsy thing, and they had the pop-up wedding chapel where you can get married, but not really.
That's been replaced by something called Lucky Cat that has this giant stainless steel cat that apparently dispenses, like, everyone's. I think you get maybe get a drink comp or something.
They got the big shoe that you can get your pictures. You always see drunk girls trying to get into the shoe.
She's done that.
Well, of course. Wait, drunk? You?
I know.
Michelle? No.
Did I mention we pre-gamed at Le Bayou?
Which, it's a good thing we did, I think, because this whole mic sharing thing, yeah. I don't know. Okay, moving along.
But we could be like Little Steven and Bruce Springsteen right now.
Oh, I just talk out of the same mic like this? I do kind of like this. All right, one more restaurant note. Over at Westgate, which we've been talking about a lot lately. And by the way, so Westgate, we've run into some of our listeners over the last couple of days, and a topic that's been coming up often is Westgate's renovations. And everybody I've talked to seems to agree that who the hell would have expected that Westgate would have been the savior of Las Vegas Hilton? And they actually seem to be on the right path and have like the right direction going. So far, all the upgrades they've announced have made sense, and they're preserving some of the history, and I like what I see there. But anyway, one of the things that is happening there is they have yet another new restaurant. It's called Silk Road. It's an Asian noodle bar, and it opened about a week and a half ago, I believe. So that has happened. They continue to change their restaurant upgrades, and they're going to start working on the sports book soon. That's going to be a long process, but the things they've announced sound pretty good. So, yay.
Silk Road is no relation to the Silk Road from Vidara, correct?
Correct. Thanks for bringing up a restaurant that's been closed for 2 years, though. I'm kidding. All right.
The abuse I'm taking right now.
Moving along to some entertainment news. And Chris, jump in here anytime if you have any comments. If you want to silently observe, that's fine, too. I don't blame you a bit, but
I'm just here on a psychological study.
I look forward to your white paper.
Journal of Medicine.
As you know, in May, Rock in Rio is coming to the City of Rock development that is being built across the street from SLS, and they have this whole thing where there's no on-site parking, and they're encouraging everybody to walk or to take the monorail. There will be some sort of shuttle bus system from Downtown Event Center and from MGM Grand. However, I do love this. This being Vegas, there's always going to be somebody who's opportunistic and jumps in and says, fuck that noise, we're going to make some money off of this shit. For this particular event, it is Stratosphere. You know, it's like two blocks away, and they said, hey, we've got a lot of parking spaces here, we're going to make some money. So $30 a day for parking at Stratosphere during Rock in Rio. And why not? More power to them. I bet the Rock in Rio people are kind of pissed about this. But that's what you get for having a big event with no place to park. I'm not sure what they're charging for the off-site Downtown Event Center and MGM parking, but I'm sure it'll probably be about the same amount and you won't be as close. So I think this is awesome for Stratosphere that they're kind of saying, welcome to the neighborhood. Fuck you. We're going to make money off your event.
What about SLS? Do you think they'll do anything?
They'll have upwards of two tables open for people who are taking the monorail and walking through their property and actually want to play.
And one restaurant.
That's about it.
That'll be closed from.
It'll be open for 3 hours.
It'll be open for 3 hours.
But only during the hours when there are bands on stage. It'll be during the headliners.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. There's a new show here in downtown Las Vegas where we currently are. I haven't really seen any promotion for it, but we haven't been to the Plaza. I'm not really sure. No, this can't be good. But there have been a lot of different game shows that have come and gone in Vegas where you can sit in the audience. Like there was a Price is Right stage show where you could potentially get called up on stage and win some prizes and things like that. Right now at Plaza, there's a show, and it's hosted by Todd Bridges of Different Strokes fame. I forgot I was going to cue up a What You Talking About Willis sound effect. I completely forgot to pull it, but.
Because that's what you want as the face of your brand.
It really.
Todd Bridges.
It really. What could possibly go wrong?
No.
Although, who would have thought he's the one who's still alive of the three kids? That's shocking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's in Vegas, so that could change. Who knows? Things could go very wrong here. Not that I'm hoping for that, but, you know, the city has. Didn't Kimberly, what was her fucking name?
Dana Plato.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God, I'm so glad you're here. Dana Plato, I think she died.
Remember that
here
creepy voice from earlier? Dana, yeah. Plato.
The game show is called Lovers or Losers. It's being described as an edgy, fast-paced, totally live game show that is sure to delight fans of beloved Hollywood game shows of the recent past. It's couples versus couples vying for prizes. I bet there's some shitty prizes, don't you think? I can't imagine the Plaza would have great prizes for this game show.
I love that the Plaza is describing something as edgy.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of edgy activities happening at the Plaza these days. But it's a 10 p.m. show. It's dark on Sundays and Thursdays. They're actually filming this for television, which is... So I don't know where this is going to show up. That's
you'll probably see it in the back of a cab coming from the airport.
It'd be a lot more entertaining than the stuff you see in the back of the cab now. So I'd be okay with that.
I saw some food show with Diana Roselli or some local TV.
Oh, Dana Roselli.
Dana Roselli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to see how quickly, once we hop into the back of the cab, how quickly Michelle's arm stretches out to mute the TV screen. It's like she pulls muscles in the back of the cab trying to turn that thing off as quickly as possible. Ever since Steve Wynn is gone. When Steve Wynn's voice was, you know, carrying us from one location to the next, whole different thing, but now that it's just random bullshit, just, no. Yeah. I can't deal with that. Now, here's the thing. Tickets are $48. They have $88 VIP seats, which what a VIP thing for this. I can't imagine what that would consist of. However, do a search for the name of the show, and you'll find an ad on Craigslist where you can get in for $5 plus a two-drink minimum. They need to fill the seats for the television taping. So rather than pay for the actual show, you're better off paying $5 and buying two drinks. You're smirking at me like you have something to say.
I'm just reading ahead in the notes.
All right. This part is not interesting to you at all? Apparently not.
The next line.
Oh, so the thing is, if anybody who listens to the show gets on this game show, I'm offering a $50 Amazon gift card to anybody who gets on the show and says 500 by midnight. If you get the full website address out... I'll make it 100. That's not going to happen. But I want somebody to try to get a plug on the TV show for the podcast. We've had listeners try to get plugs on TV before. One of our listeners from, I believe, the Atlanta area was on a home improvement show and tried to get it through, and they cut it out. It didn't air. But I appreciate the effort of our listeners shilling for us. You'd shill for us, wouldn't you, Chris?
I'm shilling now. I'm chilling now, Tim.
Fantastic. Finally, one more entertainment note. Celine Dion, who's been on break from her show at Caesars, taking care of her ill husband, has a new manager now, and he announced some plans for her show when she returns. Said she is definitely returning, so people should not be worried. People have been worried because her eventual return keeps getting delayed, and they think, oh, maybe she's completely done. However... he says she is coming back. However, as part of this, they fired several longtime band members, which is kind of a shit move for them, I guess. But I think she's trying to revamp her show to skew to a slightly younger audience, which I don't know that will necessarily be successful. But Bummer for a long time, 30-plus year band members who no longer are employed in the Celine Dion empire.
Were they just paying them to do... Were they working with the other acts, with Shania or with anybody
no,
else?
No, I don't think so. So I don't know if they were just on retention, but on retainer, but...
Retention.
Retention, yeah. But regardless, even when she makes her return, they're gone. So, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I don't know. So her being on this long break, as far as people who work for her, are they just...
Do you think
on
that
perpetual hold?
The Caesars bankruptcy is affecting some of the extra budget that they may have set aside?
Or? I don't know how much that would... I don't know.
A separate,
you know,
separate deal with Live... Is it Live Nation that...
Yeah. I don't know how that works with the shows as far as if they have a single... Like, does she pay... I would imagine she pays them. I suppose it depends how the deal is worked out, but if she gets a huge lump sum and then however much she chooses to pay her people, that's up to her, or if all of them are individual employees of Caesars. I would imagine with a band, because she tours on occasion, that they're her employees.
They're probably,
so it's a little different.
You know, independent contractors, technically.
Yeah.
But it does suck if they were really, truly with her for that long. I know I saw Elton John at the Coliseum, and I know that a lot of his...
Yeah.
He announced that, hey, this is my bassist. He's been with me for 30 years or 25 years. And
yeah.
That would stink if that's your gig, and yep. Then all of a sudden you don't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, one of these days, Celine will be making a return to the Coliseum at Caesars. And
have you, either of you ever seen Celine?
Have not.
No, unfortunately. Have you?
Sadly, yes, I have.
And how was it?
It was fantastic. I was...
Was it the first incarnation?
Yeah, it was the New Day show.
The chest-beating Titanic show?
Yeah, my wife and I, we both wanted to see a show, but she wanted to see a show that I had absolutely no desire to see. And so, crazily enough, we both split, and we both walked up and got single tickets fairly close, and then we just met up after the show. And I don't know if that would work with everybody, but it worked for us that day, and it was all right. That was pre-Palazzo, even. That's how long ago it was.
Huh.
Yeah. Because we met up, I remember we met up at a restaurant called Tsunami in the gondola shops.
Okay.
And they ripped that out to put in Palazzo when they connected it. And so I've never forgiven Sheldon Adelson for that because it was a fantastic restaurant.
It's good just to hold grudges.
Whenever I'm on that side, I never play there, but I shit there. So
yeah, they're perfect.
Yeah. So
and
I
don't
use the
flush,
water.
Right?
I just. In the old days, you would. Are you familiar with the term upper decking?
Oh, I'm very familiar with that.
If there was a deck.
If you had access to Sheldon's personal bathroom, that would be the way to go. Fantastic. Well, you know what? That's a perfect transition. No, it's not. It's a horrible transition. But we're going to talk about our friends and sponsors. It's never a good segue. But we're going to talk about our friends and sponsors at Viator.
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Spring break season is upon us, friends.
Or spring bake.
Fuck.
Never been baked on spring break. Never.
We're not encouraging drug use during our Viator sponsorship spot, are we? I bet that if you were into that kind of thing, you could probably find some sort of, with the legalization of marijuana in certain locations, there might be some sort of tours, but I don't know about that. Anyway, if you're looking at going somewhere for spring break, or you are somewhere now for spring break, you're probably in Florida, because that's where everybody goes, isn't it? A lot of people, or Mexico, but spring break is kind of a Florida thing still, isn't it? It was when
Daytona
I was a kid.
Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
MTV.
There's all kinds of great stuff to do in Florida, and Viator has all of them for you. So don't just sit on the beach all day. That's fucking boring, other than, you know, looking at college girls walk by. There's something to be said for that. I'm not saying it's horrible. However, you want to mix up your vacation a little bit, and you can do all kinds of cool stuff, and you can book all of it through Viator.
So instead of just looking at college girls on the beach, you could look at them in other locations?
Exactly. For example, there's a lot of attractive spring breakers that go on airboat rides. It always comes back to airboat rides. I'm fucking fascinated by airboats. And one of these, someday we're going to be in a location that allows us to do an airboat ride. You can do it if you go to Florida. So if you're on spring break, you can take an airboat ride and make me jealous. Theme park passes galore. There are zip lines, aquariums, seaplane tours, helicopter tours. You can swim with the sharks, which scares the shit out of me, but some of you guys are more courageous than I am. Scuba diving, all kinds of great stuff. Adventures, activities, tours, shows, you name it. Viator has it. They're going to make your vacation better. Dozens of locations worldwide, whether you're in Florida or another spring break location or even somewhere that's not spring breaky, but you decided, what the hell, I'm going to fucking Boston to enjoy the last bits of snow. I don't know. They can they'll cover you at Viator. Viator.com is the website for all the details. And of course, you can click through our banner at 500bymidnight.com. So we get bonus credit if you're going to book through something through Viator. It makes us very happy. And many listeners have been doing that. A lot of European vacations happening amongst our listeners. And we do appreciate all of the support Viator gives us and all the support you guys give Viator.com. So thank you, friends. Thank you, Viator. All right. Email questions. Are we ready for the big email question segment? Email and in-person questions.
In person.
I'm a little nervous about the in-person questions. Because you can actually ask follow-ups, which is... Nobody is able to do that with the normal email.
That's very true.
All right, here's how we start off this.
Got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read. Send your note and desires. Means of contact, P.O. Box 8941.
Baby. We're all sitting here enjoying the soothing sounds of Paul Westerberg. All right, we'll do the email questions first, then we'll let Chris. I was going to say we'll let Chris drill us, but that's not part of the Kickstarter campaign agreement.
I don't think that was the level I purchased.
No, that would have been another couple thousand dollars. But
well, I might have it.
We'll negotiate after the show. Okay, so. Dear Tim and Michelle, Robin writes in, he's normally a beer drinker but wants to try specialty drinks that he hears us talking about all the time. What would be a great specialty drink to start with, and what bar would be the best or most interesting for a novice gourmet drinker? Michelle, you've been known to have a specialty drink from time to time. Do you have a response to this question?
Sure. I think I would start at probably Book and Stage or Chandelier in Cosmopolitan. They have a nice variety. Or Vesper.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to do the gambling, you could play some video poker and get the drinks on their menu, depending on how you're doing on the machine, essentially for free. Or, and then as far as a specialty drink, I don't know.
I think any of the bars at Cosmopolitan would be a good start because they all have great specialty cocktail menus. Now, if you're downtown, go to Downtown Cocktail Room on Fremont East because they do magic. Just tell them what you like. Yeah. Like, I kind of like something really sweet or refreshing, or I hate ginger, or I like... And if you hate ginger, just...
Why do you hate redheads?
Don't...
I don't believe that to be true.
I'm sorry.
I hope not.
No, I don't.
Another one would be the Sinatra Smash at Wynn and Encore.
Huh?
That's a good night. A nice... What are you doing with the microphone? Are you...
I had a question. Chris, are you a cocktail or beer guy, typically? Or both?
A little bit of both.
Yeah?
You know, I don't get too crafty. I don't get too fruity. That kind
well,
of
we'll
hurts.
Talk about that later as well.
Well, usually it's just whiskey.
Okay.
But you know, when I've been out with bars, and we have a couple of pretty good bars where I'm from that they can just make up whatever you want. And you just kind of give them a starting point, like you said. And a good bartender will be able to create something for you. Or they should be.
Yeah.
You would expect that.
That's so. The great thing about any of the mixology bars. Mm-hmm. It's like even if you don't really know what specifically you want, if you kind of tell them the types of flavors you like, they can make magic happen.
Yeah. Or so. If you just say, I like tequila, just make something fun with tequila yeah. that I'm not used to. And they yep. can do that.
You end up. We've ended up discovering a lot of different things. Actually, our whole getting hooked on anything with ginger beer has happened as a result of that, a bartender saying, oh, you should give this a shot, and suddenly opened up a whole new world of beverages to us. And life has never been the same since.
I usually start on menu because I'll usually peruse and find something that I like, and then maybe have them make a variation on that for my second round. That's another suggestion.
Fantastic. Robin has a second question for us. And that is, what is your favorite low-level casino off-strip, not counting downtown, that you enjoy gambling at or would be interested in trying? Now, we don't spend a lot of time at off-strip casinos other than downtown stuff. And those that we do are typically like super close to the strip because locals casinos just don't do that much for us. I would say, even though we don't go there all that often, probably for me, Ellis Island, just because they've got really good, again, drink related. Really good craft beers that they make on site that are delicious, and they're $2 if you're just drinking and not gambling. Super cheap food, and I don't know, the gambling's all right. I played some slot machines there last time I was there and had a good time. So that's probably what I would say. Like I said, I don't really have a good answer for that one because we don't go to off-strip stuff all that often.
I would agree with your answer.
Do you guys ever go down to M Resort?
We've been there once.
Really?
Yeah. It's very nice. It's very nice.
Would you consider that off-strip?
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it's just kind of super south.
Absolutely.
But
anything south of Mandalay Bay is off-strip, even if it's on the boulevard. But yeah, it's really nice. But again, there's not enough there that I think is worth my time to go out of the way for. My whole thing is time, as the value of time is kind of the same as the value of money when I'm here. Like, I have a very limited amount.
Right.
And if I'm going to venture, if I'm going to take the time to venture off strip, I want it to be something to be that much better than what I could get here. So even if there's something down there that's really great, I'm like, well, is it that much better than what I have easy, quick access to?
Exactly.
So that's why I don't.
Or if you're downtown, you've got 5 hotels within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And on the strip, you've got all of the places, a two-minute cab ride.
Right.
It's you really silo yourself when you go off strip.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be boozing, you're not going to be driving.
Right.
And that's a lot of cab fare if you got to come up to see a show or.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Although I heard you can catch the shuttle to Sam's Town pretty much anywhere, and then that takes you anywhere else in the city.
That old bit never gets old. The origin of the Sam's Town slagging is that statement. All right. Thanks for the questions, Robin. Ed writes in, I'm taking my you know what? I feel bad for this because I think that Ed may be here right now. I think this was a March Madness question, but that's okay. Other people can benefit. I'm taking my brother to Vegas for the first time. What would you suggest I take him to that I don't even think about doing anymore? That's a good question, because those of us who come to Vegas over and over again, there's a lot of things that we just kind of take for granted and kind of forget and don't necessarily do again after our first couple trips.
Hookers.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Clearly, your experiences here are very different than mine, but...
No, I would not do that. That's terrible. That was a cheap, try to be funny drop-in.
Right. Try to back away from it. You said your wife doesn't listen to anything except... are you going to make her listen to this whole show?
No, because I don't have a call played on this show.
So. Okay. Perfect. Actually, we're going to be listening to your call later. Your high-pitched call is queued up later. I saved them all for when you were here.
Why did you do that?
You know, one of the things that, and it's going to vary for everybody, I suppose, because the things that they, the way that they do their trips may or may not change the same way. For us, like, one of the things is, for first timers, I think you've got to do a Vegas buffet. We don't do buffets that much anymore. Some people may still do them every trip, but I think that's like the Vegas experience. It's one of those things that you kind of have to do your first time is Vegas buffet. You've got to see the Bellagio fountains.
Right.
I'd say the Mirage Volcano is a pretty good first time thing. What do you think?
I was just going to say all the free stuff, walking up and down the strip, the fountains, the Mirage Volcano, maybe the Bellagio Conservatory.
What about anything Vegas local related, like going out to Hoover Dam or something like that? That's something that I'm embarrassed to say. I did that once, but I would never need to go again.
Right.
Just to see the water drop.
Right.
So
I've seen it from the plane a few times. That's as close as I plan on getting. Yeah, my Hoover Dam opinions are probably well documented from the early days of the podcast and the legendary Vegas ghost, but
I'm gonna get the damn bait.
Yeah. So those are kind of like the typical thing. And that's your first couple experiences here are, why not throw yourself wholeheartedly into like every touristy aspect, those things that everybody expects you to do. You know, you kind of want to see that stuff. And then when you come back later on, you start to kind of build out a little bit and do things. I would say too, probably one of the great views, you can choose whether you decide to do the high roller, if you can get a decent deal on it, or go up to the top of the stratosphere, get one of those in, you know, why not see the city from high above. But otherwise, the nice thing about your first couple trips especially is it's so easy to do a lot of things super cheap, just because seeing each different hotel and casino, you don't even have to gamble there. You just walk in the door and see the monstrosity, and that in and of itself is entertainment.
Yeah.
Now, after you've been here a bunch of times, then it's kind of, you get used to it, and it's not
first time I walked into Luxor was pretty, you know, amazing. Or New York, New York.
Yeah.
One of the still hold on theme locations, because everything has been so de-themed over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
So,
but even with Luxor being de-themed, when you walk into the building and you look up, it's still pretty fucking magnificent.
It is.
That, like, this huge pyramid holds this. It's nonsense. And it exists here. And for that, it's wonderful, regardless of the fact that they stripped out some of the theming. So, yeah, it's absolutely worth just, fuck, start at one end of the strip and just start seeing stuff. And that's not something we really do anymore. We're like, let's just go. And although we did go to Excalibur the other night and relive the magic of our...
How was that, by the way? Did you take in the dinner and a show?
And no, we didn't. We just hung out. We had a drink. And we were going to gamble. I don't think we did, though, did we?
We did not. We just had a drink at the lobby bar and then said, hey, there's the fun dungeon, and then we left.
Did you look back and just think how little we knew?
Oh, yeah.
Back then?
Yeah.
This is what we thought was living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what we could afford, so it worked.
Sure.
It served a purpose. And it was busy. It was busy. They're doing a decent business there, so.
How many strollers did you count?
There were some kids running around. I don't know if I saw any strollers, but there were definitely children there. I don't know. We didn't go down. We pondered going through the fun dungeon again since I enjoyed it so much last time, but we didn't make it down there. So
was that 10 years for you both, or was there a magic number on this trip?
Our anniversary
of
18.
18.
18 years ago. Yeah.
So your marriage can vote.
All right, it's true.
Okay.
Or join the military. Can't drink yet though. Ironically enough. All right, one more question, and then we'll get to Chris's onslaught of questions for us, trying to stump us. I think
there's three of them. There's three.
Well, we'll see about that. I have a feeling it might balloon out into a dozen questions. An anonymous question. Maybe you can help us with this one, Chris. I don't know, but someone is wondering what of the MGM properties, the M Life properties. Which buffet has the best salad bar? And the reason that this is anonymous is because the person who's asking is embarrassed by the question and doesn't want their relatives who also listen to the show to know that he or she is asking this question. Have you been to many of the MGM buffets? Well, do you know what has...
Well, I can answer this for misnomer. The best salad bar that I've experienced... I don't know if it was misnomer. I don't think it was. But no. No buffets.
No buffets?
I've been here maybe 30 times.
Yeah. Never been to a buffet?
Never been to a buffet.
Really?
Wow. I've also never been in a pool.
I've never been in a pool here either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been in a couple. It's fine. I think it's best to just get in a cabana and hang out and drink with people all day.
I've had intentions to.
Huh.
But I never have. But I'm no help when it comes to buffets.
Okay. Well, you should really try one just for the experience, don't you think?
Well, I am at the Flamingo this trip.
Okay, so. The best part about that is it's never open. So we walk by there at like 6 o'clock, and why would you be open for dinner, really?
one of the guys that we're out here with, he went to he's staying across the street at Caesars, and took in the Bacchanal for breakfast,
uh-huh.
And he said it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So if I had to force to suggest something, I would say that's probably the newest and the grandest so far.
Yeah, as it is. Unfortunately, it's not an MGM buffet, Chris.
But that's But that's specifically looking for a salad portion of the buffet.
I know, that's the tough part. Well, I'm going to open this up to our listeners. If anyone has any suggestions for MGM or MGM/M Life buffets with a fantastic salad bar, please post that on our Facebook group so the anonymous listener can benefit from the knowledge of you, our beloved listeners. I think that would be very valuable, don't you think?
Sure.
All right. Chris...
I think Mirage might be the winner. Somehow it just seems like...
I was going to say that Cravings,
yeah,
that's probably one of the few buffets we've been to in the last several years, and we were pretty impressed with it overall. I don't remember their salad bar in particular, but they had a very good overall selection of food.
Their salad thing was different there, though, because that's where they mix it up for you, remember?
Yeah.
But I think you choose what you want, and they mix it up, you know, so... But it was very good. So it depends on what you're looking for. If you want it where you're the traditional salad bar, that's not going to be it. But I do like the quality of the Mirage Buffet when we had it. All right, we're going to turn Dear Tim and Michelle over to Chris because he has a series of questions for us, and we're going to do our best to answer on the spot with no preparation whatsoever, which is fine because we never prepare for the emailed questions, even though we have them. Could. Go nuts. What do you got for us?
All right. Okay. I've got a couple of... These are softballs, really. They're not going to put you on the spot.
We'll see. I love that you're moving in so close here so we can talk in the mic at the same time. This is really sweet. Wow. We're gonna make this really awkward for you, Chris.
A moment is happening. Not really, hey. We'll dovetail. I'll take my second one here because you mentioned about revisiting Excalibur when you guys got married so long ago. In your travels and your times coming to Las Vegas, what has for you, Vegas is a destination that people go to get away and they seek out some of the excitement or the enjoyment in Las Vegas. What have your needs have changed over the last 18 years?
Day drinking.
Day drinking? Okay.
When we went for the first couple times, we were not really heavy drinkers, and that's changed quite a bit over the course of time.
18 years of marriage will cause you to drink more, is what she's saying. Am I interpreting your statement correctly?
Not really. That's just coincidental.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What has changed about what I need from Las Vegas?
Gambling.
Why do
gambling? We didn't gamble very much the first couple times we went either.
Not the first couple, but that set in pretty early on. The constant video poker need.
I used to shop a lot more.
Okay.
I think part of it was I wasn't doing very well at the machines, and I'd be like, "Screw this! I'm going to actually get something for my money." And now I don't know. I just don't do it as much.
Are there any aspects of Las Vegas? Here's your follow-up.
I knew there was going to be follow-ups.
Are there any aspects of, you think of just drinking and gambling when someone says, if you tell someone you're going to Las Vegas, do you feel like other aspects of your trips, like your meals or other things that you do now or that you have to do, like I'm not going to get a cab, I'll get a car service, or I'm not going to take a shuttle, I'll get a cab? I mean, are there expectations that have changed?
From the very early days, yeah, we probably don't do things on the cheap as much as we did because of the whole thing I was talking about as the time is currency kind of concept. Mm-hmm. I value that much more than I used to. So I want to make sure that I'm getting the most out of every minute that I'm here. And that doesn't mean that I'm not fine, like just let's go back to the room and just chill out for half an hour or something. I don't always have to constantly be on the go, but I'd rather spend an extra 10-15 bucks to take a cab somewhere rather than stand and wait for a shuttle and then have to wait for three other people to get dropped off. I'm impatient for that kind of stuff. I'm impatient for waiting. I'd much rather know that I'm kind of a little bit more in control of my time.
Didn't you say at the airport there's nothing super about the super shuttle?
Yeah, that name should not be allowed because super should never be attached to shuttle. It just doesn't.
I took a shuttle once, and that was all it took.
We did it a couple times, but so you're saving $10, but you might end up spending an hour on the thing.
Yeah, and you could be in your room,
right,
before you even somebody in your on the plane got into the cab.
Right. It's different personalities, though. You know, some people. I get it. I get that some people just. To them, they want to make the most of every dollar, and time, they don't view time in the same way as far as the value of it. So, we're all a little bit different that way. But for me, I do very much think, like, when I'm weighing options, I'm weighing, okay, if there's extra time involved here, is it worth the monetary value? So,
can I talk about shopping again very briefly?
Of course.
So I used to go to the outlet malls, and again, it's more about the time thing. Like I'd spend, I don't know, probably 15, 20 bucks each way to get a cab there. And sure, you might find something that you might not find at home, but like if he's gambling at Planet Hollywood, I find it a lot easier to go to the Miracle Mile shops because it's just right there. And then we can meet up again afterwards and then go to, grab food or grab a drink or something. I don't know.
With your time aspect of it that you kind of cherish, do you find yourself downtown more since everything's so much closer?
That may very well be part of why we have migrated downtown more. I think there is something to be said for the immediacy of everything down here. And we rarely have to wait in line for anything down here either. The other day we were going to go to DuPar's for breakfast, which we would have loved to have done, and there was a line, and we're just like, fuck that. There's another place that's not necessarily as great, but still pretty decent that's 3 blocks away, and we know we're not going to have to stand in line. So,
eat?
We went to eat today.
Okay.
We went to that day. We went to the cafe at El Cortez. We just wanted some decent pancakes, and they've got them down there too. So
they're not Duparis quality, but they fit the need at the
time.
They're
pretty good at Duparis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a reasonable observation as far as the downtown thing, I think.
I got you.
The other thing about downtown is, for some reason, the crowds downtown, even though it's a more compact area, and it drives me crazy occasionally walking on Fremont Street, I have a lot more tolerance for the crowds downtown than I do on the Strip. Because, Monday night? We just both hit this point, like, all right, we are done with the Strip, we're ready to go downtown. I don't know, it was the volume of people or what it was. I just tolerate crowds better down here than I do there, and I
is
don't
it just
really
a
know why.
Lower douchebag quotient downtown,
think
do you think?
So.
I think the...
I mean, higher crazy quotient, but lower, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's move off of that.
All right.
This one's more for Michelle, Tim. So
fantastic, it's all yours.
Pass it over.
All right,
Michelle,
mm-hmm.
You're a wife.
I am.
You have a husband who likes to go to Las Vegas.
I do.
I have the same. A wife, and she has a husband who likes to go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle, a supportive life partner of Tim that you are, how do you handle when requirements or trips arise where he gets to go to Vegas solo without you?
Not well, because it's usually in the dead of winter.
Is it cold where you come from?
Just a tad. The show, when he gets back from the guy trip, there's a little shaming.
I hear maybe a little tension, mm-hmm. there. Like, there's like a...
Yeah.
Kind of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You might not want to hear how great of a...
That's exactly it. It's like, okay, if you were to just go and have a great time, and I don't begrudge you your great time, but I just don't necessarily want to hear a lot about it. But I kind of have to.
Have you ever traveled to Las Vegas alone without Tim?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. And
would you?
Part of it. Yeah, I would.
Girls trip? Girls weekend?
Yeah. It would just be a matter of finding the right company.
It's critical.
Yes.
You can't come out here with just anyone.
No, you cannot.
You can't.
Yeah. And I don't want to come out. I don't want to come across as the, like, cranky person who's... husband goes to Vegas and I'm crabby about it, but I am a little bit, but that show actually helps me work. That show is like therapy for
cathartic,
me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
although I've got to say, there've been a couple times during this trip where you've asked me questions about, how long has been like that? I'm like, well, it was like that in January. And then I get I wasn't here in January.
Well,
it's my point of reference though. What am I supposed to do?
So Tim, do you think that you would be able to handle Michelle going to Vegas on her own?
Absolutely. I'd be 100% supportive. I'd encourage frequent text messages telling me how it's going.
You're going to have such a great time. I got one of those today.
Uh-huh.
Have a great... wife said, I thought the podcast was tomorrow. No, it's today. Have a great show, honey.
That's really nice of her.
I know.
That's really cool that she's that supportive.
That's very kind.
She's extremely supportive.
Tim, do you have anything to say about my support or lack thereof?
I think I've said everything I need to say.
I think I've always, and I didn't ask that, Michelle, to try to paint you in any way, but it's difficult when you know that someone's going to go have fun, and you want to not darken their fun, but you still want to be...
Yeah.
I want to be there, too, kind of a thing.
I usually, the past couple years, I've been able to make my own fun. I've gone other places, or we've gone to Vegas right after he's come back. So that's helped me cope with it a lot better. But this year I just had some things at work and some things at school that just...
Well, as the sole breadwinner for your household, it's got to be a struggle.
I've been hearing that a lot lately. I appreciate that's the go-to now. Thank you. All right, what else you got for us? Let's move off this subject as quickly as possible, please.
This one might be, you know... I think I found your show by listening to The Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found your show. And then I found Vegas Gang from references from your show.
Sure.
And I think towards the end for The Strip, it got to be a little bit of a chore, mm-hmm. for them. As you started this show out, from its humble beginnings, solo, now with your wife, and you now have a Facebook group, you have a lot of followers, you have this Kickstarter program for your book. Does this ever feel, I know that we joke about not having a job, but does this ever feel like as burdensome as a job can be sometimes?
Yeah, a little bit, once in a while. There are aspects of it that do. Not the actual sitting down and recording the podcast. When we do that, like sometimes even before it starts, it might feel a little bit like that. But once we get going, it's like, it's us bullshitting back and forth. And right. That always ends up being fun, at least for me. You're welcome to disagree with me because I let you speak for yourself. I'm not some sort of slave owner husband.
That's good. Thanks.
You could have had a third microphone.
As he pulls the microphone away.
certainly there are, once in a while I'll get a little beaten down by aspects of it. The Facebook group is one of the things that probably more often, and maybe it's partly I just, as a result of not, because I'm on there all the time, all day long, because I am at home and not distracted by like a traditional job at this point.
Right.
Every once in a while, that will get to me more. There's just aspects of that that.
Well, let's follow with that because you know your job is now essentially writing this book, which is all about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So
that part of it is fucking awesome.
Do you ever feel like, since you've focused on the book, not a traditional job, does the podcast feel less or more burdensome, or
no.
Is it still the same kind of?
No, that hasn't changed. In the time since I've left my job.
Okay.
There have been times, though, in the 10 years that we've been doing it. I've alluded to it before, but there was at one point where we were within minutes of quitting the show. I have on my computer here the show notes from the farewell show that never happened.
Please don't show them.
You'll cry.
I might. Well,
and we did, because we actually sat down and started talking about it, and we both were crying.
Well,
we almost gave it up, and then we're like, you know, we don't have to do this right now. Let's think about it one more week. But then after that, all of a sudden, something clicked, I think, just the idea that we could walk away from it if we really wanted to. It was almost like the idea that we could do that was freeing, which is very odd. And since then, and that was a few years ago, it was shortly after that, suddenly then we got Viator that came on supporting us, which is certainly fantastic to have somebody that like believes in what you're doing and wants to support you financially. And all this other stuff started happening. It just started to kind of balloon, and it was almost like something clicked that day when we decided let's continue doing this, and it became fun again.
Well, I think I posted on a show note one time, I did some math about when you think about the consistency of what you both have done with this show and how many, some people may not call it entertainment, but I think it's
quality. Nor would I blame them if they didn't.
Well, I think I made some reference, I think, to how many minutes or hours Seinfeld was on TV and compared it to the 10 years of doing a podcast, not for 13 weeks or 22 weeks of a season, but for 52 weeks a season.
Huh.
And your season has no off season.
Right.
That I know that I'm sure I speak for many of the 500 fans that I recognize the investment of time that you both have done, and I applaud it, and I hope that it never becomes that burdensome weight. I hope it's still something that is kind of cathartic or helpful or like a good break from the reality to jump into this little virtual Vegas thing for an hour or an hour and a half every week. So I don't want to read those show notes that you might have on that computer. I'll throw that I just can't imagine doing something that dedicated that consistently for so long.
Oh, thank you, first of all.
She's crying now, folks. There's actual tears on her cheeks.
One of the things I was thinking of is that there are times when we get a little, like, sometimes the minutia gets you down and you don't really see the bigger picture. And I feel like I'm a cliche saying that, but sometimes like the little things, like one person will say something, even though 99 people will say awesome things. It's that one thing that you're like, God, that really bugs me.
Haters gonna hate.
But then
you really just have to shake it off.
Shake it off.
Taylor.
There's some voice again. I love it.
The creepy over voice. I'm like Steve Wynn's creepy older brother.
But it seems like every time we get to that point, there's something that pulls us back. There was somebody we met on this trip who just said some really kind things and said that the show helped him get through a lot of stuff. And when you hear things like that, you think, this is why we're doing the show. Like, whether it's helping somebody with their commute on Monday or just giving them some entertainment to distract them from something that's going on, that's why we do it.
Well, I know I wanted to kind of say some of those things because I know when you guys do have, I don't know, life things that you want to do or you need to do, and you have to say no podcast this week, and then you get, oh, man, I was really needing that for Monday. Well, there's, you know, 493 that you can go back and maybe re-listen to, but I just...
That's pretty, you know, I always know the weeks that we don't do a show, we're going to get a little bit of that, but then it's like, well, that's pretty cool that people are, like, that expectant of... It means that much that, like, that's something
they miss it.
Yeah, they look forward to that every Monday or every Sunday or whenever they listen to it. That's pretty awesome. And like Michelle said, we have these every so often we'll get an email from somebody or we'll run into somebody in the case of this trip who just whatever it is, whatever part of their life that they tell us this provided a distraction from some horrible shit that was going on in my life, more horrible than any of the shit that I've gone through or that we've gone through, anything. It's like, wow, I never would have really thought of that somebody is for an hour and 15 minutes a week, like we're distracting them from something that they want to forget about.
Well,
that's pretty cool.
If you like Las Vegas and you're kind of cool, like the three of us are,
naturally,
I mean, you can go out and you can find any piece of, whether it be a blog or a podcast, you can go find whatever it is. If you like, you know, collecting toenail clippings, if that's your thing, I'm sure there's a podcast for that or a blog
probably
for that. So you can find that. And I think you guys are just, you know, you provide a service.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks. No, that's great. Thanks for bringing the questions, too.
Yep. So those were my three.
Fantastic.
No more follow-up.
All right. Should we do a couple phone calls?
And another thing, I want to ask you one more question.
Okay. No, go ahead if you want.
No, I'm done.
Something really awkward and personal and creepy. All right. No,
how many,
don't.
How many tattoos do you have?
I only have one. You're looking at it right now.
I'm seeing it now, you're, folks.
Only one that you can... I'll show you the other one after the show. Who's creepy now, mister?
I'm a little creeped out.
Oh, we do have a Facebook group discussion of the week, and it's actually from a little bit more than a week ago, but since our last show. And that is a March 9th post from John, and he's been a member of the group, the Facebook group, for several months, and the Facebook group discussion of the week was him realizing that 500 is a podcast. That was definitely the highlight, and not even that, but one other person chimed in during the comments, also realizing that it's a podcast for the first time.
I want to say those two people are very brave. Very,
yes.
I wish I was. I almost envy them at how free they are. They're not bound by any constrictions of normalcy or reality or societal judgment.
Well, my thought was, okay, I get why. Okay, you might sign up for the group and you might not read the description fully, or you might have banner blindness and not see the graphic at the top of the group every time you look at the page. And also, even though we have a lot of awesome listeners, not everybody's heard of the show. That's okay. But the fact that there are, I don't know, what, 3 to 4 discussions a week about something we said on an episode.
Hey, a couple shows back, they mentioned a great buffet with a salad bar. Can anyone remember?
Yeah.
Please send me your email address. I have some information that I would like you to deposit.
Yeah, that one was especially amusing to me, so I had to choose that as the Facebook group discussion of the week. All right, so with that, we have a few phone calls we're going to get to, and we're going to start it off with this gentleman, Dominic.
Hey, this is Dominic from California. I want to say first, thanks during your Kickstarter thing for pronouncing my name correctly and only 2 tries. Most people don't do that well, because of good job of that. I'm going to be here for 6 days, mostly for a business conference, but I thought I'd call you with a couple of things. I don't drink, so I can't call drunk. The best I can do is call when my feet are tired, so that's what I'm doing now. I just wanted to share the 3 weirdest things I saw today. Just number one is they put video every place here. The cabs thing is annoying. I know you've talked about that before. There was a hotel that had a little TV screen showing ads on top of every faucet in the public restroom, which is just weird. I don't know why anybody would do that. It's okay not to have video everywhere. Second thing is, just walking around, I saw five different people dressed as Olaf, the guy from Frozen, and that is way too many. I think the ideal number is zero. And some of them were dirty, which is just disgusting. And several of them were carrying purses, which is just weird. They're like metrosexual snowmen, which is horribly wrong. And the last thing is, I don't know if you've seen this before or if this is a regular thing, but there was this couple on Fremont Street, and they were like a million and 6 years old, and both of them were just wearing like a diaper and shoes, and the woman had a couple of strips of electrical tape to avoid breaking any local laws, and I guess they were there to try to get people to have pictures with them. And that was just horrifying. I don't need that, especially if I'm going to be eating later in the day. So that was my experiences, and I hope you can do something to have all those things there fixed. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing your colorful observations with us, sir. Yeah, the characters, you know, what more is there to say about them? They're obnoxious and annoying and whatever, but they're here to stay, and that's how it is. As far as the video screens in the bathrooms, I mean, you know, if I'm washing my hands or taking a whiz or whatever, I'm all too happy to be entertained, even if it is with an advertisement. I don't mind that so much. It's better. I'd rather have an advertisement above the urinal than have the little placard at SLS that's lecturing me about the things I can't do on property. Have you seen that? Have you been to SLS?
I have not.
Yeah, the restroom's there. I think it's a thing in nightclubs, but they have it in the casino restaurant. It's the rooms
it's
there.
The drug.
Yeah.
No selling, no consuming, no.
Right. Which by limiting it to those rules, I assume anything else is fair game on property, but as long as you don't do those things, you're no lewd behavior.
So you can
no
dress up
behavior.
As Olaf with a purse.
Absolutely, yeah.
Take a pee.
And just electrical tape over your nipples, and you're good.
So as an empowered person of power in Las Vegas, what are you going to do to take care of those issues?
I will, you know, once I'm done with the book, I'm going to turn my attention to some of these things. These and the, there's one of our listeners who has been single-handedly trying to get me to join a campaign to save the Riviera facade in some manner. So apparently I'm being, once a week I get tagged on some tweets encouraging me to do something about that, and I'm going to get right on that as soon as the book is done, at which point, of course, the facade will probably already be gone. you gotta pick your causes, I guess.
I want the facade to go in that person's yard.
There you go. You know, in all fairness, I was speaking with someone who has knowledge of the facade at Riviera, and there's really no way to save it. It's not, you can't really, there'll be some neon signs that will most likely end up at the boneyard, but as far as the majority of parts of that, you can't really cut them out or anything. It's
so part of the actual structure of the building that
it's
not like a neon sign, right. Silver slipper or anything where you can just take the sign down and crane it over there.
Exactly. So that it's a futile campaign.
It'll just have to live in your memories.
Exactly. Take a picture of it. It'll live forever. All right. Next, let's move on to another caller.
Aloha, Tim and Michelle. This is Brian from Orange in Orange County. It doesn't get orangier. So I want to thank you for letting everybody know about the Riviera's pending closure, because I just got back from Vegas, so I made it a point to go to the Riviera, where in my early 20s had visited many times and even stayed a few times, but haven't been in 15 years. And there's a reason I haven't been in 15 years. There's no reason to go there. It was slow. I thought I could at least get a matchbook or a casino chip, you know, to say that I was there, like I've done at Dunes and Sahara and other properties that were imploded. But they don't have any matchbooks, and they were using generic chips. So I don't know if they just ran out or what happened with that, but that was too bad. I do like those souvenirs before a property goes. But if they do announce an official closing date, I will definitely be there, because I was there for the implosion of the Stardust, which was an amazing event to be there and see it in person. And I remember walking into the Sahara after the implosion, and everybody at the casino pit said, "What the hell are you guys covered with?" And we said, literally stardust, and they wanted to know if they were going to do it again. And of course, we had to tell people gambling, you can't blow up a hotel twice. But love the show. Thank you very much. And cheers.
All right. Thanks for your call. And you went into, I was taking a nap because I'm old, but you were in Riviera the other day. Any thoughts on how things are looking here prior to its closing?
Not good.
No? Not a lot of people checking it out or anything? Just...
No, the table games area was weird. There were only a few tables open. There was one for $1 that was crowded, and then they had a couple $15 tables, and we're like, I'm not playing $15 a hand blackjack at the Riviera. Why would I do that?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to check it out, and then once you said you were a dollar, I'm like, meh, I don't care. It'll live on forever in my heart. Chris, any plans to go to Riviera one last time?
I think so. I think we're going to...
Dinner, perhaps? Dinner and show?
One of our
Crazy
dinners.
Girls?
One of our dinners, we're going to go to Tiger the steakhouse Magic. at Circus Circus.
Nice. No, hey, nothing but good things about the steakhouse.
Well, this will be my first time, and I think we'll be up there, and we'll maybe sneak over.
I would love a report on the steakhouse after you.
Yeah, I'll do. I'll fantastic. Definitely call one in.
Awesome.
I'd like a report on the contrast between the area outside the steakhouse and then the actual experience inside.
That will be highly detailed.
Fantastic. Let's check in with Dominic, shall we? He might have some other things to say about his recent Las Vegas trip.
Hi, this is Dominic from California. I had my last day of being on my own before my exciting conference stuff starts tomorrow. And I just want to tell you three things that annoyed me today. One is, I know some of the casinos have like blackjack classes and something like that. What they need is how to use a crosswalk lessons. There are so many people who don't know what a walk signal means and are walking out in front of cars turning left or just standing on the corner when there's a walk signal. It drives me nuts. They need to learn this. The other thing is I was driving down the freeway and there was a big billboard that just said Jehovah in big words.
I saw that.
A giant type and nothing else. And I don't know what that means. I assume it's just, hey, God exists or something, but I didn't really understand the point. Maybe God needs to get a new publicist or something. And the last thing is, I see a lot of casinos have, like, you know, blackjack dealers and stuff like that not wearing a whole lot of outfit-wise, which I'm sure would be very exciting if I was not incredibly married. But I went to the D just to look around because you guys talk about the place so much. And the women there were dressed in, like, extra skimpy outfits to the point that...
Yeah, they are.
All I could do is just look and wonder how to not freeze to death. And I don't think there's anything exciting about that. They got to find a medium where you're not having sympathy pains where people wear any things. Okay, that's my ranting for today. Thanks, bye-bye.
That's why they're dancing.
Yes.
Keeps them warm.
It does. It helps circulate the blood flow to the bits and pieces.
Later on when we're playing blackjack down there, we'll have to ask them about their how they deal with the temperature. I don't know. I haven't really noticed it being that cold in there. I don't know. And when I have, it's been quite enjoyable for me. So,
cold on yourself or on the dancers?
Either way. I didn't even notice that they had scantily clad dancers down there. I don't know what I've been looking at. But
I don't even think I notice it anymore. I just kind of expect it.
Yeah.
Like the cocktail waitresses at...
Have you been to Las Vegas Club?
No.
9:30 a.m. They've got the dancers up. And not only do they have the go-go dancers, but one classy addition.
Don't you mean go-go dancer?
Okay. Well, they had one go-go dancer.
All right.
A little bit, something I haven't seen at any of the other casinos, however, she had a dollar bill tucked into her fishnets.
Classy.
It really is that nice additional touch saying, you know.
I'm up here. They're paying me to be up here, but if you want to do a little extra, you're more than welcome.
I'm not technically
it's like that
a stripper.
First dollar in the tip jar at the bar.
Yeah.
I'll start it off for the folks.
Yeah, I'll prime the well for yeah.
Prime the pump.
Yeah, exactly. I can't actually take anything off, but if you want to ask me to, I'll certainly take the money. Yeah, it's a classy operation over there.
I just kind of expect it though.
Yeah.
I mean, Cromwell. They've got some
They're
taste. No, I'm talking about the
The dealers,
the cocktail waitresses there.
Sure,
they wear kind of like a gold thing.
Are you concerned for their health during cold the cold weather months?
No, You know, learn to type or do something else. In the meantime, get me my drink.
Are there a lot of jobs for people who can type now? What year is this, 1956?
I'm going to get out my Smith Corona.
All right, we'll hear one more call from Dominic shortly. I suspect it'll be another very positive call about things he loves in Vegas. Next up.
Hey, Tim, Michelle. Just a couple of quick notes from a recent trip a couple weeks back. SLS, we went to visit that place for the first time, and it was like 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. Place was pretty much dead. A couple of the restaurants were open, but there was literally nobody at anything except the cafe, and that place was humming. I mean, it was probably 70-80% full, but everything else absolutely dead. Went to Downtown Grand as well, because I hadn't been there since our last trip, it had opened. One thing that we said at the bar, and Heineken, $1.75 for Heineken. Now, I was playing, but I was talking to somebody, so I'm not sure. I suspect it would have been free if I would have been comped for it if the guy thought I was actually gambling. And I was gambling, but he charged me $1.75. So I think that's maybe the going rate for Heineken at the bar, which compared to strip prices, I thought was pretty good. We dropped into the Tilted Kilt or whatever that place is around the link. That was around 1 a.m. in the morning, and so it was about the only place along that little walkway that was open and was serving food. And so we had a couple beers and some really good food. So that was, but then again, 1 a.m., all food's good, I guess. So,
speaking of Link, walking through there the other day, I noticed that one of the restaurants there, it's called Fame, is closed. Apparently it's been closed for a couple months from what I discovered online.
I guess they didn't live forever.
No, they didn't live forever. But I may, when I go home, need to find a clip from when we were discussing before Link opened the shops and restaurants that were planned, because that's the one that had in their description something about Gangnam Style right after that song came out. And I'm not 100% certain, but I may have had a little rage about that. In fact, saying that, using that phrase in their press release was a telltale sign that they wouldn't be open very long, because they were hopping on a ridiculous bandwagon based on a novelty song. I might have called this, so I might have to do a little. Normally, I'm not into any sort of effort or research when
but
it comes
when it's
to
patting when, yourself on the back.
Then I'm all over it. When it makes me sound like I'm a prognosticator extraordinaire, I will go to that level. So. Anyway, if you wanted to go and have Asian food at Fame, you can't do it. It's closed.
Gangnam Style, it never gets old, does
no,
it?
No. Oh, I mean, it's so good.
I just celebrate his entire catalog.
Well, you were doing the dance earlier before the show, which was something to behold, too.
Anyway, that was worth visiting. And the only one other note for all you poker players, the poker room now at Planet Hollywood has been moved to the, I don't know how long this has been, but it certainly was changed since the last time I was there. It's in the walkway by the Earl Sandwich. And you know where Earl Sandwich is in that walkway towards the shopping mall, so it's a highly trafficked area. And now all the poker tables are basically laid out in that walkway, and so people are squeezing by on either side. Very awkward. Anyway, love the show, guys. Keep it up, and I'll talk to you again. Thanks. Bye.
It's true that Planet Hollywood poker room is just as half-assed as it used to be. It's just in a different spot now. So it's very convenient to the new Wings and Sliders restaurant that we discussed earlier, however.
When you said that, I thought you were going to say their Planet Hollywood pop-up poker room, because it can just pop up anywhere.
It kind of is, which is the benefits to not building any walls. You could just move those tables. Here's our poker room.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
But if you want to play poker, you should just go to a location that has an actual established poker room, like the Bellagio or like the Wynn.
I wonder if they've considered, because poker is something I would say it's probably a little bit more of a destination than maybe like slot machines. You're walking along, mm-hmm. Oh, that looks interesting, I'm going to play it.
Hey, Mad Men.
Yeah.
Walking Dead. Yeah.
I wonder if they've considered putting the poker room up on the mezzanine level.
I think that would be excellent.
Might make some sense in having it be an actual place, but
I think it would be great.
I'm not running the casino. What do I know?
Well,
I should be.
Well, you might be.
Someday. Offering advice like this at no charge, at some point someone's going to call and say, I'd like you to run my casino. Downtown Grand, I'm waiting for the call. I've got all kinds of ideas.
What would be your first suggestion?
Fucking close down that street, put up a stage, have cheap beer, cheap food, $5 blackjack tables out on the street every night.
I really only wanted one. So
that's all one. That's all one package. That's one package deal.
I think it's a good package.
Not that company. Well, thank you. All right, let's check in with... Now that I'm uncomfortable, let's check in with Dominic again.
Hey, it's Dominic from California. Just a quick comment. I went to that new shopping area at Bally's that you're talking about, and it's like shopping a prefabricated refugee camp. It's I don't know. It's horrible. And I think what really ruined it for me is before going there, I went to the Container Park, and that's actually really nice. I mean, it's technically also prefabricated looking, but it doesn't seem like it, and it's very family friendly and nice, and all the shops are kind of interesting. And then just wondering real quick, where are the selfie machines? Where do those even exist? I'm seeing them everywhere, and it's just part of the downfall of civilization. Thanks, bye-bye.
I think Dominic had a hell of a trip while he was here in Las Vegas. Seems like he really enjoyed himself. We're going to save our thoughts on the Grand Bazaar shops, which we explored briefly. I think we're going to save that until the next show when we're doing our trip wrap-up. Unless, Chris, have you been through there yet?
No.
No. Yeah. Well, no. I recommend set aside at least 6 hours.
My Saturday afternoon planned.
Right, I mean, if you're choosing between the Mob Museum and the Grand Bazaar shops as far as educational experiences, it's really a toss-up. All right, one more call. And then, you know what, I'm going to save this call. We're going to save this call for next week. It's a little bit longer, and I think it might be good for next week, if that's okay, since we're running a little bit long. I'm going to save some of the Karma donation thank yous for next week, too. So rather than bore our beloved guest, Chris, with all of our thank yous, since he's not getting a cut of our Karma donations, I don't want him to have to sit here and...
My name was mentioned previously.
Yours
I got the Karma call out.
I know, and we appreciate that.
Yeah,
plus the Kickstarter thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine.
But we do have an Amazon.com listener purchase of the week, and I chose this specifically because I knew that we would be taking advantage of a similar product while we were here in Las Vegas. It's a 12-pack of Vita coconut water for $17. And the reason that I chose this, I had some this morning. Coconut water, are you into it?
It's good.
It's the way to go after a night of drinking.
Yeah.
The stuff is magical.
And you don't have the Pedialyte stigma.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm down with the coconut water as a hangover prevention / cure. Do you endorse this as well?
I do.
All right. So there you go. The triple 500 endorsement this week for the Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. Thank you as always to everybody who's been clicking through our Amazon link before buying stuff. It's an easy way to support the show. If you're going to be buying something at Amazon anyway, just click through our link before adding it to your shopping cart. We get a small cut. Everybody's happy. All right, I'll save Karma donation thank yous till next week. And instead, I would like to say thank you, thank you, thank you very much to Chris from Missouri for joining us this week. This has been fun.
This was great.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Were you about to say something?
No, grab the mic. It's yours.
Thank you. I would like to echo Tim's thoughts. Thanks for taking the time out of your trip to hang out with us.
Good. I'm glad. I hope I didn't steal too much of Michelle's thunder, Tim.
Not at all. Oh, this was wonderful. And thank you.
Take her mic.
Thank you as well for supporting my life of leisure and the book that's eventually going to come out. And I hope that it lives up to your high expectations.
Do you really think that Bob Marley was Jewish, though?
Did I say something about Bob Marley being Jewish?
Yeah, a little bit.
I said a lot of things during that. For anyone who doesn't know, Kickstarter backers got to see a video of me fulfilling an agreement to listen to an entire reggae album, and I videotaped it, and I made it available only to our Kickstarter backers, and I don't know what I said during that hour. And I was completely sober. It was recorded at like 9:30 a.m. But as soon as I was done, I immediately purged my memory of anything related to that experience.
It was a good watch.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. So I don't know what I said. All right. Well, this show went exactly as it should have, I'd say. All right. So as always, you can visit our website at 500bymidnight.com. 500@gmail.com is a place that you can send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions if you have any. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She's Anita Martini. Chris, what's your Twitter thing? Let's get you a massive amount of Twitter followers.
I tweet maybe once. I am
perfect.
C-squared08.
Oh, they're never going to find that.
SQUARED08. That is me.
Anywhere else? Do you have anything to plug? Anything that you're... Well, that's a personal question. Do you have anything that you'd like to promote?
You know?
Amway sales? Any sort of pyramid scheme you're starting up?
I would just Echo, you know, we all use Amazon. Make sure you click on the link.
Oh, that's
utilize
kind.
That.
That's
funnel,
kind.
Funnel anything in here to the support the show.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Other than that, I'm pretty, you know.
Very cool. All right. Our voicemail line, 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear your calls. We'd love your thoughts and observations and reviews and all that stuff. I'd love, I look forward now that you're here to hearing your post-trip observations next week so you can continue to be a part of the show just as if you were sitting with us in our living room. All right. Anyone have any final words before we sign off?
No, I'm good.
No sure bets here.
All right. Now, that's another show.
Wrong show. Yeah. Wrong show. I do them next week.
You're making the rounds? Fantastic.
That would be cool.
All right. Thank you, as always, to everyone for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back soon with another show. And until then, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.